We're delighted to have Jay with us this morning, Jay O'Sullivan, all the way from Clondalkin. Jay is going to bring the word, and excited to hear what you have to say, bro. I know it's going to be something in time and from the Lord. And so let's give it up for Jay. Give him a big welcome as he comes. Bring the word.
To see a full house here this morning. It's brilliant. Amen. You know, I was thinking there as Rob was talking about, first of all, before I start, I just want to say, my name is Jason O'Sullivan. I'm from Clondalkin, and you mightn't see me out here a lot, but I'm in one of our other locations. You know, Liberty is one short's many locations, Finglas, Bray, Clondalkin, and Ardee Street. So I'd be out in Clondalkin a lot, but we had our big day out last Saturday and the week leading up to it, and it was absolutely amazing. There was kids being saved, there was people being healed, there was people being set free, and it was just a great chance for us to just to show our community that God loves them. And that's what we're there for. We're just no strings attached. We just want to tell them that God has a plan for your life, and God loves you. And you know, I read a story some time ago, but this morning I was coming out and I says, I'm going to share that story before I start preaching, because, you know, God has given Bray a dream, and the people in Bray have dreams, and sometimes them dreams are robbed. And but I want to tell you this morning that, you know, God has a dream for Bray. He's a plan for Bray, and he's an amazing plan for Bray. And it's great to see all these faces here this morning, and it's great to see that Liberty is doing something in Bray for God and true God. And I'm just going to read this story, and it struck me. I read it some time ago, but it's about a guy, and he had a friend. And as a kid, this is what it says at the start of the story. I will tell you the story of my friend Monty Roberts. As he was a kid, his father, as a horse trainer, was moving from stable to stable, from ranch to ranch, training horses. Thus, the boy's school career was constantly interrupted. One day when he was a senior, his teacher asked him to write out what he wanted to be when he grew up. He did not hesitate for a minute and wrote a 7-page paper about his aim to be an owner of a horse ranch. He wrote many details and drew a location of buildings and stables and even a detailed house plan. 2 days later, he received his paper back with a grade F on the front of the page. After class, he came to teacher and asked, "Why did I receive an F?" The teacher responded, "These dreams are so unrealistic for a boy like you, who has no money, no resources, and who comes from an itinerant family. There is no possibility that you will reach your goals one day." Then the teacher offered to rewrite the paper with a more realistic attitude. The boy went home and asked his father, how should he act in this matter? The father answered, "This decision is very important for you, so you have to make it on your own." After several days, the boy brought back his paper to his teacher. No changes were made. He said, "You can keep your F, I'm keeping my dream." Now, Monty Roberts owns a 4,000 square foot house in the middle of a 200-acre ranch, and he still has that school paper, which he has now framed and is hanging over his fireplace. Remember this, guys. You have to follow the dreams God has given you and never let anyone steal them from you. Isn't that absolutely amazing? God has given each and every person in Bray a dream. He's installed that dream in you, and he wants to bring that dream to fruition. And as Adele was talking about, there's loads of things to stop us from our dreams coming to pass. And one of the main ones is fear. And, you know, just imagine what your life would be like if you had no fear in your life. Just imagine the boundaries that you could cross. Imagine the things you could accomplish in God. Imagine the dreams. I know each and every person sitting here, as I'm speaking about this, they're saying, "Oh, I have a dream, but this is stopping me from getting there, or this is stopping me from getting there." But God has a dream for you, and he has a plan for you, and he wants to bring that dream out. He wants to bring that dream out, and believe in him, because he will bring it out. Amen? Amen. So, Speaking on dreams, you know, Pastor Rob was talking about, and when Pastor Noel asked me to come out and preach, this series is about encounters. And I had dreams, and I had dreams for a long time since I was a child. But things in my life stopped me from accomplishing them dreams. But it wasn't until I encountered God, them dreams came to fruition. I truly believe that your dreams truly come alive in Christ. I really believe that when God has given you a dream and when you trust in God, that dream comes to pass. And as we were talking about, there's certain things in life that stops us from getting to where we want to be. But, you know, it's great that God sent his son, that we could be born again, that he could give us the grace and the power and the strength to overcome these obstacles in our lives that stop us from getting to our dreams. And it's all about the encounter. As Rob says, it's all about the encounter. See, when you have an encounter with God, a real encounter with God, you know you can do absolutely anything. And I don't mean that in a prideful way or an egotistic way, but I mean that when you have encountered the living God that has created the heavens and the earth, that he threw the stars up into the skies, when you know him, you can say, this is true what God says. Jesus says you can do absolutely anything. Actually, Jesus says that you can do better things than he has done. That's what he says. And nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And just to share a little bit about myself, I had those dreams and I had those things I wanted to aspire to in life as a child. Because when we're small, God puts stuff in us. And God gives us dreams. But they get stolen and they get robbed. And there's certain things in life that stop us, as I said, from getting there. But one of my things that stopped me from getting to where I was one was rejection, one was fear. Fear was a major one. Fear of being no good. Fear of not being good enough for the people around me. You see, the thing is, when you encounter God, you're good enough for him. Because he took you exactly the way you are. See, the way you're sitting here today, no matter what you have going in your life, he absolutely loves you. He wants to encounter you. And when you encounter him in that way, it just turns your world upside down. And it helps you to live your life in a different way altogether. It's nearly like when you have an encounter with God, he puts a spring in your step. He puts a new song in your spirit. He just does something in you that you say, this is absolutely amazing. I have the living God, the one that created the heavens and the earth, with me, day and night, 24/7. Actually, Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We carry God everywhere we go. And imagine we were to live life out, when we get up in the morning, that we're carrying the living God. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. That when we go out, we can accomplish absolutely everything in God when we trust in him. And I didn't trust in God. I didn't, you know, I knew there was a God out there, but I didn't know who he was. But when I had an encounter with him, that was it. It was all over. Everything that, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I know one thing, he sees me as perfect. And as I say that again, that's not egotistic or that's not prideful, but I know he sees me as perfect now. I fail. I probably fail today. But I know one thing, he forgives me and his grace is sufficient. But I spent 25 years of my life on drugs, on heroin and crack. I was in and out of prison. I caused mayhem everywhere I went. I actually done absolutely everything in my power to try and give up drugs. My family, in the end, they were just like, I've had enough of them. They had to wash their hands of me. They done absolutely everything they could to help me. I went all over Europe. I went to clinics everywhere trying to give up drugs. I got implants put in my body. I got my blood flushed out. I was in treatment centers. I was all over the place. Nothing worked. But when I had that encounter, that was it. Bang. I knew I'd never, ever, ever take drugs again. I knew that. Why? Because I knew that God, with God, everything was possible. And I'm not saying there's days that I struggle. Yeah, there is days that I struggle. But I'm like, Lord, I'm struggling today. Here I am, I'm yours. And it's absolutely amazing when you just give it all to him. He keeps you, he walks with you, and he's faithful. So today I'm going to talk about someone. You know, these things in our life, sometimes there's things in our life that stop us from having that encounter. Some of us have fear of God. You don't need to fear God. God loves you. There's loads of things that stop us from coming to God. There's loads of things that stop us from getting to where we want in God. But I remember as a Christian, I was saved about a year, and I ended up going back to Mountjoy Prison for something I'd done before I became a Christian. But because I had that encounter, God kept me in prison. I knew I didn't have to take drugs while I was in there. I might have been in a physical prison, but because I had that encounter lifted me above the walls of Mountjoy and I could see out over them. Every day when I was sitting in my cell reading my Bible and my mates were taking drugs, I could see above that wall. Don't ask me how it happens, but when you have an encounter, it's nearly like Jesus elevates you and he just makes you see above your problems and above your giants. And I could see above that wall and I knew I was coming out. I knew I was coming out and I knew I was coming out the way I came in. And I knew that I didn't have to take a drug. And my mate was sitting beside me in the cell and he was taking drugs. I was sitting there reading my Bible. And that was going on every day. And I knew because of the encounter, I'd never take another drug. And as long as I hold on to that promise and I hold on to Jesus, you set me free. I had an encounter with you and I know you. See, I know God is faithful. He's faithful. And I want to tell you this morning, church, he's faithful. Do you believe that this morning, church? He's faithful. Come on. Amen. So I'm going to speak this morning about a guy in the Bible. I absolutely love him. His name is David, King David. But he faced a giant in his life. And we all have giants here to face in our lives, just like I was speaking about. He was only 16 years of age at the time. The theologians and historians say he was about 16 years of age at the time. But even David, his family, I'll read this out what it says here. David's dad thought that he was not good enough. David knew who he was. David's dad thought he was not good enough, but God didn't. He sent Samuel to anoint him. It was even said that David didn't belong to his own family because of his stature and his hair color and all that sort of stuff. His father even sent him to mine sheep rather than pay someone to do it. Back then in them days, you'd pay someone to mine the sheep if you had a family with a few bob. And usually the sons would sit under some teacher and they'd be taught the word of God and stuff like that. But for some reason, David's father sent him out to mine sheep. But I was thinking, it was absolutely amazing. And God is so amazing because it was out there when David was mining sheep that he had that encounter. And you know, David was in an Old Testament setting. But I truly believe that he had an encounter with God that it was nearly like he was living out a New Testament lifestyle. He knew who God was. He had freedom. He danced before God. Took his clothes off and he danced before God because he knew who he was in God and he knew that God loved him. Although David failed so many times, he knew who God was and he knew God was faithful. The story is about David and Goliath. And it's an amazing story of faith versus fear. And the battle of David and Goliath is one of the greatest examples of how faith overcomes. How to overcome giants in our lives. Not just only the physical, great big man type, but how to overcome giants on the inside and giants of circumstance and giants of difficulty. Giants of pain and hurt. The battle of David and Goliath, though played out with a shepherd boy and a warrior, is a great picture of a battle of fear versus doubt. With most of the victory happening not on the battlefield, but behind the scenes in the lead up to that face-off. David, as I said, David knew who he was in God. You see, God had given David victories in the past when he was out minding the sheep. And let's have a look at this scenario, how it began for David. If you have your Bibles, it's in Samuel 16. It's starting off in verse 32. The scripture says, David says to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on the account of this Philistine. Your servant will go out and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David says to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from his mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God." See, David knew the living God. That was the difference. David had an encounter. He knew God was alive. He knew God was with him. I'm getting lost here. Yeah. "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. Now you have to remember, David and Saul were two different sized men. It says Saul was about 6'6" or 6'8". David was only a small little fella. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried to walk around, because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel." You see, David knew. David was coming up against his giant. But in them days, you know, imagine David looking at Goliath. Goliath was said to be 6 cubits tall. A cubit is about 18 inches, so he's about 9 foot tall. And it says he was wide in stature. And it said that his chain mail, that's what they call the armor that he wore. They said it weighed about 57 to 60 pounds in weight. He had big bronze shield. He had a big bronze shield. He had a big helmet on his head, big massive sword. Could you imagine David looking up at him? But you see, sometimes we're looking up at our giants, and we're looking at them through the wrong filters. We should be looking at them and we should be saying, "I'm not coming to you in my own strength. I'm coming to you in the strength of the Father, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. So, "You come against me with spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel." I want to tell you there's a God in Bray. I want to tell you there's a God in Bray, and he can overcome absolutely anything. When you put your trust in him, no matter what you're going through, you have a God in Bray The same God that David had is the same God that you have in Bray, and you can overcome your giants. And I know there's people sitting here this morning and you're thinking, I've a giant in my life and it's absolutely massive. I've been trying to beat this giant and I can't beat him. But this morning you'll beat him. The same God that David has and had is the same God that you have here in Bray. Amen. Amen. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you all into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Wasn't David so confident in God? Could you imagine David running to the battle line? It's only about this size. He's running to the battle line with his little sling. Remember years ago, I'd say all you lads from Tiglin now, you ever make them slings when you were a young fella? Huh? You'd be breaking windows and you'd be, Do you remember them? Imagine David with his sling and he runs to the, and all you as well from Bray. I'd say he's had grey slings out here. But I used to have good ones. But anyway, imagine David running up to the battle line to meet Goliath. And Goliath's standing there. And he's 6 cubits tall, so 9 foot. He's huge. And it says that he was a champion. So for the Philistine army to send David out, he was the best of the best. He was the best they had. But even the best of the best wasn't good enough for David. Why? Because he knew the living God. He had an encounter with the living God. David ran to the battle line. Let me pick the story back up again. David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword, drew it from his sheath. After he killed him, he cut his head off with the sword. When the Philistines saw the hero was dead, they all turned and ran. You imagine David. David runs up to the lion, to the battle lion. And you can imagine Goliath standing there. And he's full of pride and he's like, who's this fella coming up here? But he didn't know who he was coming with or whose name he was coming in. And the Philistines, they worshipped all sorts of gods. But the God David had, it was the big G God. It was the God that done the impossible. And he used small people to do big things. And you might be sitting here this morning and you might be thinking, I'm too small for God to use me. You might be big in stature, but you might feel small inside. But let me tell you that God can use absolutely anybody. Absolutely anybody to do anything. I've seen men of God, and they're only small, and they're doing amazing things for God. I've seen men and women of God that God has given them visions and dreams, and they've done absolutely amazing things with their life and being able to bless other people in the midst of it. You see, everybody said the giant was too big, but David's attitude was, he's too big to miss. Why? Because he had an encounter with the living God. He knew who was with him. When you're walking your daily walk and you know who's with you, you know that there's a strength in you. It's like a holy boldness that's put inside you that you can just stand up straight and you can say, no, I have the Lord with me. I'm not like anybody else. I have the Lord with me. I can go through this. See, David knew his God was alive. And because of his past victories, he was confident in God. Remember David? God delivered the lion into his hand, delivered the bear into his hand. And out of that, he knew that God was going to deliver Goliath into his hands. You see, God always gives you a testimony to remember. No matter what David knew, he belonged to God. And there's some days, you know, it's absolutely amazing when you're saved. Because there's some days where, you know, when you're down and you're feeling down and all, and I say these things, but some days and say, well, I have God in my life. You look around you and you see devastation and you see stuff going on in people's lives and you say, no matter what, I've God in my life. You can go into that secret place with God. Stuff might be going right for you on the outside, but you know you can go into that secret place with God, and you always have someone to talk to. You've always someone to comfort you. You've always someone that will whisper in your ear, come on, Rob. Come on, Adele. You can do it. You can do it with me. All things are possible with me. Remember, listen to that small, still voice. The voice of God that's there every morning when you wake up. He's there every night when you put your head in the pillow. He sends ministering angels in the middle of the night to whisper sweet nothings in your ear. Isn't he absolutely amazing? He's amazing. You know, God gives you a testimony to remember. A good football team manager, when they're going out to play an important match, sometimes he'll walk the team through the trophy room. Why does he walk them through the trophy room? Because they see the past victories that they've come through before. Gives them strength, gives them encouragement, builds them up, edifies them. God does that. God reminds you of stuff he's brought you through before. Remember I've done this? Remember I brought you through that? Do you remember I saved your sister? Do you remember I saved your brother? Remember all them prayers you prayed? Many of them am I out there answering? Think about that. All the past victories God has brought you through. I guarantee if you sit down after you leave here and you think about all the prayers you've prayed, see how many of them is answered. God is faithful, guys. He's faithful. You see, David remembered and reached back to God's faithfulness and declared to himself and to others that the giant is coming down. David reached back and he said to himself, no, he delivered a bear into my hands. He delivered a lion into my hands. See this big Egypt, he's coming down. He's coming down. Why? Because he had an encounter. He knew who God was. And he knew God was faithful. And guys, if God has told you to do something, if it's God, it's going to come to pass. No matter what, it's going to come to pass. If God speaks, it comes to pass. His word doesn't return void. Doesn't return void, and he's faithful to his promises. David said, "And I come not with spear and javelin, but I come in the name of the Lord." He drew back a sling, started swinging it, let the swing go, and embedded the smooth stone in Goliath's head. Goliath came crashing down. You see, God showed David his faithfulness long before the giant came. God has shown you faithfulness before you're going to come up against your giants. And them giants that you're coming up against now, remember God's faithfulness. He's there, he's with you. There's nothing that he won't go through with you. He walked through the fire with you. He gave David precious victories that David never forgot. Never forget where you come from, guys, and never forget where God has brought you from. Never. Think about it today when you go home or where you're going back to, where God has took you from. He's absolutely amazing. He's so faithful and he's so loving. And he'd do absolutely anything for you. He loved you that much that he gave. The Bible says he gave his greatest possession, his son Jesus. Imagine the father looking down and he says, I'm going to send my son to take all your hurt and pain. Why? Because I love you. He sent his son down to earth so that each and every one of us here today could know the salvation of the Lord and that we could encounter the living God. And today, if you haven't encountered the living God, this can all change today. You can encounter the living God today. And I mean a real encounter that you'll never forget. Because when, as Rob was saying up here, when you have a real encounter with God, you never forget it. You reach back and you say, no, remember that encounter. Remember that encounter. I'm holding on to that. Amen. Amen. What victories has God given you that you've forgot? As I said to you, think about them. You see, you might be swinging a sling at a giant for a long time, but you haven't released the stone yet. Many people are threatening to kill a giant. Many people are threatening to face something that you're going through in life. And every time you come up to it, the enemy sticks his head out and he roars at you and you run back. You're like this. You might be like that 3 weeks, 6 months, 6 years. You're still swinging the stone. You're not releasing it. Time to release it, guys. It's time to release it. It's time to release God brings us through stuff to show us character and his faithfulness. Guys, the sling is being released today. The giants are coming down. I know this giant's going to come down here this morning. This giant's going to come down in people's lives here this morning. Before we finish here, we're going to pray for you. And I know God is faithful. And if you want to face your giant, never face your giant without God. Go with him, just like David done. He came to him in the name of the Lord. And when you face your giants with God, he brings them down. Why? Because he wants you to have wholeness. He wants you to have freedom in every area of your life. Notice David didn't leave it there. He ran over to him as the giant lay on the ground. He took the sword from him and cut his head off. I remember when I was in treatment 4 years ago and I first went in, and I remember the counselor says to me, she said, Jay, are you prepared to go before your giants? I said, I am. Are you going to just injure him? Are you going to put him to bed once and for all? And I says, I'm going to put him to bed once and for all. And some of them days were painful, but it worked. Sometimes we can just look at the giant and he can give us one of them ugly grins and we go running. But it's time to face them. It's time to face them with God. And when you have that encounter with God, you know you can overcome it. You know you can overcome it, just like David did. Don't you know we serve a God that just doesn't leave giants in our life unconscious. He finishes them off if we let him. God finishes them off if we let him. He won't leave them there. He doesn't want them coming back. He doesn't want things robbing you of your freedom. He wants them over and done with. As I said, there's going to be a few giants' heads being cut off this morning. Heads rolling here this morning. Amen? Amen. They could be giants of fear. They could be giants of anxiety, insecurity, self-doubt, addiction, guilt, shame, loneliness, strongholds in your life that have you under the hand of a giant. Does your giant seem unconquerable? The giant that you're facing, does it seem unconquerable? You see, in God's kingdom, a giant that hinders his children must come down. Those giants are coming down. You see, David was creating a future and the future of everybody else by taking down the giants. See, sometimes when we take down a giant, it's not just for our own benefit. David, by taking down Goliath, stopped his community, his family, his people around him. It was said that if David lost to Goliath, that the Philistines would have rule over David's people. They would be enslaved. But David knew there was stuff on the line, and it wasn't just about him. And sometimes it's not just about us, because when we conquer giants in our life, the rest of our family are blessed by it. I know that the giant in my life that kept me back was addiction to heroin and crack and trouble. But when I faced that giant and overcome that giant with God, the rest of my family were blessed. They don't have to worry about me. They don't have to worry about me now. They know I'm going to heaven, for one. They're not waiting on the phone call at 2 or 3 in the morning to say that I'm in prison, or I'm locked up, or I'm dead, or I'm being shot. They don't have to worry about that anymore, because they know I'm following God. You see, when you face your giants, and when you have that encounter with God, out of that encounter, everybody else is blessed. I truly believe it. If Liberty Church as a whole hadn't got an encounter with God, do you think they'd be out here serving Bray? I don't think so. They're doing it because they had that encounter, and they want Bray to have the encounter. They want everybody in Bray to have that encounter. God has put a gift in you that when released will create the now and the future. Not only for you, but for everybody around you, your children, your family, your friends, and your community. Sometimes all we can see in our sometimes all we can see is our mountains and our giants. The first step in slaying a giant in our lives is acknowledging there's a giant in my life. And sometimes that's hard, because sometimes we don't want to tell people, look, I have this giant. I don't want to name him, but he's ruling my life. It's time to name him, guys. Time to get rid of him. The first step in slaying the giant in our lives is acknowledging there's a giant in my life, but I'm prepared to face him or them with God. Not with man, but with God. Jesus said this in Luke 18:27. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And if Jesus says that, I'm going with him. Church, did you know that when we lift up the name of Jesus, mountains and giants bow down? When you bring Jesus before your giant or bring Jesus before your mountain, that mountain and giant has to bow down. Jesus is over absolutely everything. The Father put him above everything, above all. When you lift Jesus up before your mountain or your giant, it's going to bow down. I've no doubt about that. Someone said, how do we know that the giants will bow down? Someone said to me one time, how do we know, Jay, that the giants will bow down? And I turned around and says to him, because I'm alive. And that's the same as each and every person here. I'm looking at people here this morning and I know that they've had giants in their life. And how do we know the giants bow down? Because you're in church here this morning. You serve a God that is absolutely above all and over all giants.